This week on Erotic Awakening, can you really grow a penis? Am I too young or too old to BDSM? And the sacred sex event.
Welcome to Erotic Awakening, an exploration of all things erotic. If you are offended by adult topics or prohibited by law, we recommend you stop listening right now.
Hey, patron supporters, we have two free tickets to Kink School, a virtual con happening in November 2024. Just let us know via the Perks channel on Discord. First come, first serve.
We want to thank all of our patron supporters. We cannot do this without you. Head over to patreon.com/eroticawakening today and get your bonus content and support the show.
Hi, Dawn.
Hi, Dan.
Upcoming topics we have include mentoring, MS at home. We got a great person scheduled to talk about that, and still trying to pull together PE dynamics when out of the norm behavior shows up. But today on the podcast, so Dawn, as you know, I am a male-bodied person that was raised here in the United States of America.
I am aware of that. Yes, sir.
Very first porn I ever saw starred a fellow named John Holmes.
Now, I do know this story, and if I remember right, it was from the old drive-in from our hometown.
Right.
So not only your first experience was John Holmes, it was up on the big screen.
Yeah, the big drive-in theater screen. And I looked at that, and I looked at mine, and I looked at that, and I looked at mine, and I said, man, this ain't going to work. I got nothing here. And it is normal for male-bodied people to hear all life that their cock is not the right size, and if only there was a way to grow it. Well, here's this thing, here's that thing, right?
And you've tried a couple of things, correct?
I've tried a couple things for the kinky enjoyment of it. The real,
true.
The primary thing I do is find partners that haven't had a lot of cocks, so I have a really good opportunity to be the biggest.
You lie.
I do lie. The trick is, and you know, because our podcast has been around 690 plus episodes, our listeners might be surprised by the number of people that reach out to us and say, let us tell you about this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So when we got one that said, hey, let me tell you about my make your cock bigger thing, we scoffed. We said, no, thank you. Go sell it to somebody else. They said, are you sure? Check it out. Hey, do your own research. Don't look at our website. Do your own research. And the Redditor that I am, I went out to Reddit. And did you know Reddit has a subgroup called, let me see what it's called exactly, Getting Bigger. And I actually searched for this style of enhancement on this Reddit, and they were not poo-pooing it. They were actually, I'm seeing some people saying this stuff actually worked for me. So we went out and actually found somebody who could tell us about it. Lucky for us, we have found William Moore. He is the founder of Fallowfill Girth Enhancement. And this is one of those that on Reddit, people are saying, yep, I tried it and it works. William, thanks for being on the podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Absolutely. Let me start off by saying, what is girth enhancement? Is that just a fancy way of saying make my dick bigger?
Make my dick bigger. I like to use the word cock, but yeah, make my dick bigger. People ask me what I do for work, and I say, you're never going to guess. I make penises bigger, make dicks bigger. But we add girth to the penis. So lots of guys have a size penis that they're not happy with. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's under average size, but it's just not the size that they want it to be. And I have a really great way of making it girthy. It unfortunately doesn't add any length to the erect penis, but most partners say that it is girth that makes the orgasm or makes the pleasure. And so girth, we think, is where it is. So that's what we do, is we make your dick thicker.
Now,
nice. So, well, you know, there's times that
I'm not sure I'm happy, Dawn, with how very excited you seem by this very topic. But
well,
please go on.
Okay. So because I do like length, right? I'm one of the ones that like length because I like pain. So I like when it hits, right? But girth is something to have. Yes, absolutely. There is something absolutely to be said for girth.
Now, I got to start off by thinking, man, to make girth, are you like doing some slicing and dicing and adding things? Or how do we actually get there?
Man, it is so easy. So the procedure takes me about 20 minutes, and that's not a rushed procedure. So it is non-surgical. We use needles only, and don't let the needles scare you. It's not painful. It's done with hyaluronic acid dermal filler, which is the same exact dermal filler that you may have put in your lips or your cheeks, your nasolabial folds, on your face. It's an FDA cleared dermal filler. It's very safe. And the most important thing about it is it's reversible. So if for some reason you got a really big penis and then you get divorced and you're the new girl that's younger, that she's 25 years younger and she can't take that big penis, we can take it back down if we need to. But that's the beautiful thing about this procedure, as opposed to a lot of other ones that are permanent, is that it is semi-permanent, which means that it lasts a few years, but we can reverse it and we can correct it if somebody doesn't follow their post protocol and they fuck it up.
Are we talking about the entire length of the penis?
The entire length.
Okay, so from head to base, we're making the girth the whole way through. And when you say larger, what does larger mean?
Okay, so we measure by circumference. So the average penis in circumference is somewhere between 4 and 4.5 inches in circumference. That's about the size if you maybe took your forefinger and your thumb. Actually, it's smaller than if you took your forefinger and your thumb. Maybe, well, I got big hands. It's about the size of, it's a little bit larger than like a broomstick. And okay. So we can add about 1 to 1.5 inches in circumference. So that's the measurement around the outside of the penis. We can make some really big changes and make some really big visual changes for self-confidence, but make some really big erect changes to enhance sex life for both partners.
Does this affect their sensation at all? As in the penis owners, the cock owners' sensation, does it affect that?
It can, but only in a good way. We've never had anyone report loss of sensation. So we have safety data that we are getting published on 471 patients. So far, no one in our entire network with any of our procedures have ever reported erectile dysfunction or loss of sensitivity. And no one has had to be hospitalized or have a surgical intervention. Those are all really important things, because no other procedure can make those claims.
Though some people would not want to be more sensitive either.
I've had a couple people say that they had to be a little bit more conscious, that they weren't a two pump chump. I think is what it is. I think that's the term. I've had a couple people say that it did make it a little bit more sensitive, and they just had to be a little bit more conscious. But in general, they said the orgasms are actually better, because when you put a nerve on the stretch, it feels better. That's the reason that whenever you get a swollen bug bite or something that's swollen inside your skin, it's painful, because there's sensitivity because the skin is stretched. But stretched skin does feel better, and so the opening of the vagina or the anus is going to feel better when it's stretched as well.
And let me just point out real quick, I appreciate that you're recognizing that penises go in a variety of orifices, not just girl parts.
Exactly.
What about, so do you do the procedure? Because my question is going to go either direction. Do you do the procedure on a flaccid penis or an erect penis?
Flaccid. Always flaccid.
Okay. So then what happens when it gets erect? It doesn't... I'm having trouble picturing.
So when we inject the penis, first of all, we put a hot towel on it for a few minutes, because that softens the tissue and it brings some blood flow in. It doesn't make it erect. But when we put that hot towel on it, it's that we can stretch it to its full erect length. And so we inject it with it stretched. Now, what Falafel has done, and I actually did this, I'm going to say I, since I'm actually on this show, because I designed it. I designed a post-care sleeve. It's a medical-grade silicone sleeve that compresses and elongates the penis to the full length of your erection the entire time that you're healing. So it's a sleeve that has a rim around the edge that captures the head of the penis. And it has enough compression to keep it compressed and extended. That way the penis can't retract and make the filler look like an accordion. If you think about an accordion, the penis, and every other provider, I tell you, every provider has this problem. They put the patient in an ACE bandage or some Coban wrap. Coban is what you get put on your arm when you go and have your blood drawn. They try and stop the blood with the Coban. That is what they generally put on top of the penis whenever they get finished and the patient leaves. And as soon as they retract, they get cold, the penis is lumpy. And all the urologists said, we're not going to provide girth enhancement because all the patients that we've seen have been lumpy. We fixed that with this sleeve. And I had it patented in the U.S., I've had it patented in 7 other regions, which is the UK, the EU, EUA, Canada, Mexico. Saudi Arabia, because they call us a lot, and Australia. So far, we have patents pending in all those countries. And that really is what sets us apart. Our injection technique, which I teach the urologist how to inject and how to put it in there's a very particular place in the penis that it has to go. In other words, if it doesn't go here, the penis is going to feel soft and squishy. We want mm-hmm. the penis to feel erect and firm whenever you have an erection. And there's a very particular place it has to go, a particular layer that it has to go in to achieve this. We teach them how to put it there. And then our sleeve keeps the dermal filler in place because the penis is stretched, as you said, to the erect length.
That is one of the things that I noticed when I was doing a little research was people would say that the lumpy issue, and it looks like you found a way around
it. We don't have it. We don't have lumps. That is it. That is exactly why we are special. Nobody has the sleeve. It's patented, and I'm not going to sell it to anybody besides a Falafel provider. Nobody else will ever have it besides a Falafel provider.
So how long is recovery? How long do they have to wear the sleeve for?
Well, they wear the sleeve for 3 weeks, but mm-hmm. they were going to be getting multiple treatments. So one of the things that we also do different is that we don't inject a ton of filler in the patient at one time. A lot of providers, you go to them and they're going to inject 20 syringes of dermal filler inside the patient. Yikes. The reason they do that is because they get to make a whole lot of money off of 20 syringes and you're only on their treatment table one time. Right. As opposed to me, I may only inject 5 or 6 syringes, which the patients think, why not put more in? Well, I promise you I would if it were safe, because that would mean that I wouldn't have to have as much time on my treatment table with you. But less filler doesn't migrate and lump up. So when I lay a thin layer, I tell people to think about having a tube of toothpaste, and the tube of toothpaste is full and you can push it around really easily inside there. It moves. But then when the tube of toothpaste is thin, it's kind of harder to move the toothpaste. Mm-hmm. So whenever the dermal filler is thin and thin layers, it doesn't move. It doesn't migrate. So that's another key to what we do, is we know that we're going to see the patient more times. It's every 3 weeks that we have to see them, and we add 1/4 inch per treatment. So if they're going to have 1 inch, they're going to come about 4 times. If they're going to have 1 1/4 inches, they're going to come about 5 times. But to answer your question.
Whoa. I don't know if I can come 5 times. I'm older. Oh, you mean come to
you
your,
get
oh,
3 weeks.
Mind.
You get 3 weeks in between. I hope your refraction period is better than that. Yes. So they come, they visit every 3 weeks. And so they've only got to avoid sex for 10 days. And that's really important, because some of the procedures, whenever somebody has girth enhancement, they're asked to avoid sex for 3 months, for 6 months. But we're 10 days. 10 days is it. Okay. And you still have your mouth, right?
There you go. Well indeed. Said. You did well on this show, William. All right. So, man, I'm tempted. I'm interested. Where would I go? How can I get this done? And it's the funny thing, you're talking about all the places you have patents. We have listeners in all those places. So how are we going to get this done?
Well, we're in the process of becoming an international business right now. So now we've got locations in across the U.S. We got one place in Mexico, and we got one place in Canada. So we've got to get these patents in place, and then we're going to be able to start expanding. I don't know where it's going to be first, but on our website, almost every day, we get an inquiry from somewhere around the world for someone who wants to do our procedure, but they mm-hmm. can't do it until we have our sleeve, because our procedure is going to make them lumpy, just like everyone else's is lumpy, until we get these sleeves patented across these multiple countries.
Mm-hmm. And that's fantastic in that you're aware, instead of just taking the quick buck, trying to make sure that your brand stays on target and stays as, you know, that you're the non-lumpy provider.
Oh, I could for sure. I could be charging a lot of money and have people fly in and train with me right now from all over the world and teach them a really good injection technique. But what's going to happen is they're going to go back, they're going to inject people, and they're going to ruin the name of hyaluronic acid dermal filler, just like what you've read on your Reddit page, because mm-hmm. they don't have the sleeve to keep the sleeve in place and to keep it from being lumpy.
Okay. Now, of course, the question people are going to have in mind is, how much money do I have to go into this? And if you don't want to say exactly.
Oh, I can talk. It's not nothing secret. Everything's open. Yeah, awesome. Ask me anything you want. So it costs roughly about $2,500 to $3,000 per 1/4 inch. And that does depend on the length of the penis. So a 4-inch penis only gets 4 syringes of dermal filler per treatment. That will give you a 1/4 inch change. A 5-inch penis needs about 5 syringes, and a 6-inch penis needs about 6 syringes per treatment. So you guys that have a big, long dick, this is the one time that you're at a disadvantage. And you guys with the short dick, you're going to get thicker faster whenever you come to see us. So it does depend on how long the penis is. So someone with a 4-inch penis is only going to cost them about $22.50 per treatment. So you multiply that by 4. So someone with the penis of, you know, average length, 4 to 5 inches, it's going to cost them about $10,000 to add an inch. An inch is a pretty nice change on someone. You see a big difference with an inch increase in circumference.
Wow. That's still amazing. And, you know, I'm thinking about the price. The wow was not about the price. I was picturing the girth growing. So, because I've had elective surgery myself over the years, and it's about the same price.
I just think it would be so much fun to go get this procedure, but not tell you, and find ways to avoid having sex with you for 10 days. And then suddenly one day you're like, huh.
Something's different.
Yeah,
you should virgin. Hear. You should hear the stories that I've been told from people. They hide it from their wives. There's one guy. This is so funny. There's one guy that was getting it that didn't tell his wife about it. Had been doing some construction in his house, and he was cutting some 2x4s with a saw, and he stepped on a 2x4, and it popped up, and it slapped him in the crotch. He used that as an excuse and told his wife that his penis started growing, and he gained an inch and a quarter. And he told his wife that his dick grew because that 2x4 popped up and slapped him in the crotch whenever he was doing some construction in the garage. I've had guys that tell their wives that they bought some of those stupid fucking pills on the internet. And they were taking those Enzyme pills, or, you know, whatever those things were that you saw on TV that's supposed to make your dick grow. And their wives were like, wow, that stuff really works. But it's not, it's me.
So
nice. You've got a grin on your face too, man. You're excited about this, aren't you?
No, this is like the best. I've been in aesthetics for 20 years. I own med spas for 20 years. I did cool sculpting, fat reduction, body contouring, face injections for 17 years. I did lasers, hair removal, everything, testosterone replacement therapy. This has made more people happy, and I think I have saved more marriages. You know, I've got guys that tell me that they were on Reddit trying to find bulls for their wives to keep their wives happy because they couldn't fuck them the right way. And then all of a sudden they come home and their dick is getting bigger and they can say bye-bye to the bulls. So, nice. You know, lots of changes in marriages as well. I mean, it's exciting for me. I love it.
Very cool.
Fabulous.
One more question for you, if you don't mind. Are you a client?
I've had one treatment. So my penis is not thin. I'll tell you, my penis is 5.75 inches in girth, and nobody really wants anybody up over 6 inches. It's, you know, erect, that is getting to be kind of pushing the limits. And I put my penis in buttholes more than I put it anywhere else. So it's a good size. I've had one treatment, and I did that because I wanted to see how long it stayed in my penis. And so I actually was injected by someone who was training. And this was before the sleeve. So I can tell you the history of the sleeve, but for the first few months, I didn't have a sleeve. And it wasn't until we had our first cold front in Dallas and everybody's penis retracted that I learned that I needed to design a sleeve. But in the very beginning, so I have a little bit of a lump on one side, not enough to bother me. Whenever it's erect, you can't see it. Nobody's ever even commented on it, but I can see it. And I left it there untreated because I can fix that in 2 seconds. I can make that lump go away with what's called hyaluronidase, which is what we use to correct. But I left it. It was put in June of 2020. So that's about to be 4 years. And I left it because I wanted to see how long it stayed in me. And it hasn't moved yet.
Wow. Huh. Very cool. William, I tell you, I even started this, even though I did the research, I still had a little hesitation. And man, this is really impressive to me, not only how confident you are, but what you're explaining does kind of make sense. Now, for listeners of the podcast, I don't expect you to, I mean, we are not commissioned by the length of anyone's penis, so go do your own research, but I would absolutely check out this as an option. William, where can people go to learn more?
So if you go to Fallofill, PhalloFill.com, you're going to get to our website. There's a number on there that you can just text directly at 972-663-5588. And one of the best things about Fallofill is that we have an entire team that are dedicated to just answering questions about girth enhancement. All of our men that work for us have actually had the procedure. And so you can actually talk to someone that's actually had the procedure before you go in and have a visit with your physician. But we answer the phone calls, text messages, and emails for the entire country. We take everyone through the process of learning about girth enhancement. People aren't always ready to pull the trigger the moment that they look at the website and send a text message. We have to nurture these people and answer questions, and they read more research and they come back and they ask more questions. Sometimes it takes us a year and a half before someone finally decides to pull the trigger and go to a clinic and get treated. We nurture them and we give them all the information that they need to make an informed decision about the procedure. And then once we figure out where they live, we connect them with the closest provider, of the provider of their choice. And our patient coordinator contacts the patient coordinator for that particular clinic and puts the patient directly on the schedule. They don't have to call the clinic's office and try and go through the front desk girl and try and explain that they're trying to make their dick bigger. We make it really easy. We get them right on the schedule. And we also provide the financing for them as well. We have financing options and
oh,
we
fabulous.
Take care of all the finance. Yeah, we take it. About 40% of our guys finance. And so we take them through the financing process before we even connect them to the provider. So we know if they're approved or not approved before they go. And we have a really high approval rating because the company that we use only requires a credit score of about 600. So okay. So we got pretty good on financing options.
Absolutely. Fantastic.
This sounds thrilling. I like the excitement that's going on here about this. So,
absolutely.
So fabulous.
Good deal. Fantastic. Hang out with us for a little bit while we wrap this up. Dawn, I might need to go get this procedure, but I don't know where I'm going to be.
I know where you're going to be. Maybe in Ohio.
Pennsylvania.
Chicago.
Michigan.
Kansas City.
Las Vegas.
Minnesota. And Toronto in a couple of weeks.
Catch up with us at all the events. You can find us in person. And even if you're not going to the event, reach out, say hi. We would love to have a cup of coffee with you.
Absolutely. So keep up with all our events, book news, discounts, and more via the Erotic Awakening newsletter.
And get your EA shout out like Charmin.
And Shandell from New Zealand.
Lori from Ontario.
And Michelle from Ontario.
Where we're going soon.
Head over to eroticawakening.com and subscribe today.
Dawn, it is amazing to me the amount of energy that we have today, considering we just came back from Beltane.
We did. So 4 days of fucking on the ground.
Yes, on the ground, not in the ground.
We were not buried, but, you know, in the field, around the maypole and all that kind of stuff. We taught a lot, four classes on sacred sexuality. And we went to erotic hypnosis classes with HypnoStory and one of his partners.
It was fantastic.
And just did all the things. So there was ritual and people and, had a blast.
It was really neat for us in that we do teach a lot of power exchange, a lot of polyamory, a lot of skills classes. And they're like, no, we want the spiritual classes. So although we did do sensual BDSM as the kink class, everything else was much more along the lines of uniting your spiritual and sexual energies.
And giving and receiving and sacred touch and all that type of stuff. So we got to feed that part of us. And that was really amazing.
Yep. A fantastic event. And hats off to Kat that runs that event and just all the work that everybody there on the staff does.
Absolutely. And the land is amazing. It was hot one day and cold the next two, but it's still amazing.
And then we have a question from a listener, which I modified just a little bit.
Okay.
They said they were concerned that they were too young to get involved in BDSM, that they were looking at a munch and they're 29 years old and they feel like everybody that goes to these munches is way older than that. The funny thing is, I remember seeing a thread not that long ago, somebody saying, I'm 59 years old and I was going to go to these munches, but everybody's too young for me.
Yeah.
What do you say to people like that who say, I may not be the right age, too young or too old to get involved in BDSM?
No, I'm going to say you're going to find people of all ages. Just depends where you look and what munch it is. As long as you are over 18, and for some groups, it's over 19.
Or 21, depending on the region you're in.
Right. So you are going to find people from the ages of 18. We know people that are still involved in kink in their 80s. So yes, you may be the odd person out and not part of the age group that met for that evening, right? But there's going to be people of all ages. Unless it's a TNG group, which is the next generation, they're going to be more than likely under 35. That's usually the cap off date for that one, the cap off age. And then you do have some oldster groups that are like 55 and older. And then you have some that are labeled this generation, which are between 35 and 55 or something like that. So sometimes it specifically can be for specific ages, but usually munches are all ages. You just happen to catch a young knight that night or an older knight that night.
Absolutely. I would say that there is no real, I mean, again, as long as you're of adult age, I would say though, would you agree that over the past 20 years, the BDSM community has in general gotten younger?
It feels like it's gotten younger. So, and I mean, there's all kinds of reasons for that. One is because it's so available now. When we got into it, we were finding it in the back of magazines and swing magazines in bookstores, right? Right now, it is so easy to get information. Sometimes when people become 18 and can start going to munches, they already know a little bit about it. And I don't want to know how, so I'm not going with that. But
Well, it's
we certainly didn't.
right. I totally agree with you. It does seem to get have gotten in general. I wouldn't say that it's gotten younger, but certainly a lot more younger people. Of course, you know what, Don? That might just be the effect of us getting older. Everybody seems
Everybody
younger
seems
now.
younger every year. There's more people in there. So absolutely. But yeah, so whatever age you are, like I said, we've got friends that are in their 80s. I hope to be them when I grow up. They're still very passionate about kink and very passionate about their fetishes. And yeah, so and because I'm on the older end of the scale, maybe I don't hang out a lot with the young newbies, right? So they've got a language all their own, and luckily they do have a lot of people there their age, so that they don't have to feel uncomfortable around us oldsters.
It leaves me kind of curious, William, with the people that are reaching out to you for girth enhancement. What's your average age? I'm going to guess it's, I'm not going to guess. I have no clue.
Well, the oldest person that I've treated is about 85. So, and man, that guy's still got good erections and is still having multiple sexual partners. He's actually married to a woman and he's got a male partner on the side. And I love hearing about his sex life. And then the youngest that we'll take is 21. We don't really want to take anyone until they're completely, you know, until we know that they're fully have and everything's gonna it's gonna make there more changes. But I would say the average age is probably around 35 to 45. And that makes sense. Don and William, look, you might add an inch or two to some people, but Don's got tentacles. Don, you have so many tentacles, so much
I
tentacle
have
sex.
tentacles. Why do I feel like there was tentacles at Beltane? And I don't remember why I'm thinking that. But anyway, I'm sure. Oh, because during one of the hypnosis classes, tentacles was brought up about how hypno can be used for tentacle sex.
All right. Yes, it was. I'm going to stop you there for a second. You don't have a chance. You don't have to do this very often. What is tentacle sex? What are you talking about?
Oh, tentacle sex? Okay, so if you listen back on episode 100,
Wow. Memory. Nailing.
Nalen breaks down what it is that I like about tentacle sex. So for me, tentacle sex is cartoonish, right? So it's anime,
Magma intake.
hentai. So, and it is very much about the monster with the tentacles grabbing and taking from the girl. It's usually a girl. We've had some people
Oh,
on our
absolutely.
Discord posting,
We've had some
posting
male people
men.
too. Absolutely.
Absolutely. So, but for me, it's very, very hot because it's very primal. So the tentacle is doing what the tentacle does.
Okay. Tell us about
And
it.
yes.
What do
So
you got this
we've
week?
got a lot of people on our Discord that I get pictures of octopus and tentacles all the time. And on our Discord channel, Enigma's been sending pictures again. Horace sent something that looked like the girl had been eaten. So it looks like she's in something's stomach, but there's tentacles in the stomach, and it's all wet and it's all naughty and it's gushy and it's actually fucking hot.
And Staten F has sent another Baldur's Gate one. This one, Shadowheart, getting done. For some reason, Baldur's Gate tentacle sex is a big, it's a subculture all of its own.
Well, we were just listening to a Stephen King book yesterday where he was talking about Cthulhu.
Yes.
And I was like, I might have to go look at some Cthulhu stuff. And then Trevor's been sending me pictures of picnic table sex
Your
again.
Other kink.
My other kink.
Yes.
Yay, picnic tables.
William, I appreciate you keeping a straight face while we discuss our interesting kinks.
Tentacles. I have so many things in my mind right now to share with you, but I'm just going to let you lead here. There's a many things that have come to my mind while you've been talking.
Oh, absolutely. Now, Dan actually likes food on boobs, but we don't have any food on boobs this week.
I've got
tell you what, man.
I have a jar of spaghetti sauce right here. Hold still.
That is true. Oh, man. Would you lick that off me? That would be,
Yeah, we better wrap this thing up, huh?
Indeed.
Be a part of the Erotic Awakening Podcast community.
You can support us on Patreon and get early access to the podcast, a free version of the audiobook polyamory toolkit, free ebooks, free classes, member-only Discord access, and more.
Find all the goodies at patreon.com/eroticawakening today.
Help others find us. Take a moment to support the podcast. Rate us on Apple Podcast, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
Or just tell your friends.
Join the conversation with us and other listeners. Use the links from the Erotic Awakening website for our growing Discord channel.
And feel free to reach out to us. We love talking to you.
Contact us with questions, podcast comments, or just to say hi.
We are Dan and Dawn on FetLife.
And Erotic Awakening on Instagram.
Or just email us at danandawn@eroticawakening.com.
Bye, Dan.
Bye, Dawn. Bye, William.
Bye, William.
Bye-bye. Thank you for having me.